Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
I'm Greg Bresnitz.
And I'm Darren Bresnitz. We're the host of Snacky Tunes.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn.
If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Dig it, we're back in Bushwick, and sitting in the Maguire chair today, as it's become known, is our old friend Lux, Lux Optrum.
Hey, you know, you got to update that intro music. You just got to, like, do a beep over Judy's name.
I'm working on it.
Hosted by Mike Edison and beep!
Yeah, well, bumpers don't come as cheap as they used to, but what does, really? Academy Awards, they do.
Oh, yeah, easily. So, yeah, today we've got some excellent guests. We have comedian and filmmaker Liam McEnany.
Hey, everybody.
And urban explorer and cartoonist Julia Wirtz.
Hi.
This is good. This is like an old-fashioned slum before we were talking about the Algonquin and the cat Matilda, who will be a guest on the show. I'm working on the booking to get Matilda here. And that's what it takes to get Judy Maguire back. I have to book the cat from the Algonquin. But you
what
were
kind of questions do you ask a cat from the Algonquin Hotel?
I expect the cat just to be filled with quips. I expect that to be a very easy guest. I'm going to let the cat talk.
I feel like you could just do half an hour of the cat.
I would think so. That cat's got a bigger Twitter following than I do. Last time you were here, was it the last time you were here? Well, the last time you were was Judy's last show,
yeah.
I believe. But you were here on that crazy kitten day, and that was so nuts, because now it can be told.
now that it's, like, a year later.
Now it can be told. Not only do we break every, like, health and safety violation here, every HACCP plan violation here at the restaurant, with, like, a truckload of kittens, but I was so stoned because my boss, actually, like, the director of this radio station, slipped me a pot cookie, like, right before we went on the air. Listen, it's a restaurant. People give me things to eat all the time, so I don't really think about it. And boy, I was like flying.
Wait, did he not warn you it was a pot cookie?
Yeah, right. Uncool, right?
No, oh, that's mean. You can't do that to somebody.
It's just wrong.
Well, it's a good thing that you're publicly accusing him of committing a crime.
Yeah. Well,
that'll really get him when he's in prison for the next 6 years.
Well, I think he's got, like,
you're not pressing charges. He's fine.
Pressing charges, the developmentally challenged defense. you know, he misses social cues. Yeah, Tim is like, cool, this is good. But, I mean, thankfully I was along for the ride.
I don't think that's a court defense to be missing social cues. You can't be like, Your Honor, my client does not know how to leave a party when everyone else is gone. Clearly, he should be excused for murdering people.
Not guilty by a reason of being on the spectrum. Isn't
autism defense, yeah.
The autism defense, exactly. Exactly. I don't know. I think it would work in this guy's case. Anyway, it was a good day. At the end of the show, I was like lit up like a Christmas tree. I was so stoned. All these kittens climbing all over me. It was wonderful.
That sounds really amazing.
Are you sure they were really there?
I was
sober and they were here.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I didn't take them home with me. It was the only thing that was going on. So you've had a rough time lately. You've had a tragedy.
I've had a
Shonda. I mean, really, like, the worst thing that could happen to anybody. Okay. I mean, the humanity. You were thrown off of Facebook.
You know,
I was.
You know what's great about, I'm sorry, I'll let you tell, but there's something great about this story.
Okay. It is a great story, and I'm glad you're hyping it for me, Liam. No, I woke up on I woke up on Wednesday, and like I always do, I went onto Facebook.
It wasn't a dream. You woke up.
I woke up. This really happened. I went on Facebook, and it was fine. And then like I went back to Facebook and on my phone, because I'm such an addict that I check Facebook on my phone while I'm still in bed. And I was suddenly logged out. And I was very confused. I was like, oh, maybe the app updated, and that's why. And I, like, logged in, and then it's like, you have to confirm your identity. Go to the internet. And it was suddenly telling me, insisting that I had to update my name. And that was the only option it was giving. And I kept putting in Lux Alptrom, and it was like, no. No. You're, if you keep doing this, we're going to, like, really
Lux, your
you.
Memories have been faked. Right?
I know.
It's like one of those...
you got inceptioned.
I did.
Exactly.
No, but
Total
then
recall, I was thinking. But yeah, exactly.
But I realized very quickly, I was like, oh, this is their bullshit real name policy, where they decide your name is not good enough, and then they try to get you to, they try to like get you to send your ID, or do like all sorts of
weird shit.
Because
Zuckerberg is mad that you're trying to like assimilate, you know, it's like your Jewish thing, you know? You know, he told Dylan he wants him to go back to Zimmerman too, I heard.
It's true. But yeah, so I ended up, it was very easy for me. Like, there's, like, all these, there's, like, Native Americans who've gotten kicked off, even though it is their legal name, and then they have this hellish time trying to get back, which is really ironic that we're still putting the Native Americans through hell. But I, because I'm well-connected, I just texted someone and was like, fucking fix this for me. And after 34 hours, it was fixed.
But 34 hours of hell.
It was.
Of disconnected, just drifting in the ether. You're sort of like George Clooney in Gravity. Goodbye. See ya. Floating.
But
gone.
Don't bury the lead here, which is that you're well-connected to Facebook.
Yes. <Yeah. laughs> No. So this is actually, if anybody ever tells you that spending your 20s going on lots of dates and sleeping around will never get you anywhere, they're lying.
It'll get you back on Facebook.
It
just
will.
What we're always trying to do.
Because someone who's a higher up at Facebook happens to be someone I went on 3 dates with 8 years ago. And
you
I was like, got his number.
Were boom, they internet boom, dates?
Boom. No, I was like, we were introduced through friends. It was not an OkCupid.
Because you've written a lot about OkCupid, and you're pretty open about your exploits on the internet. So what happened in these 34 hours? Did you feel flu symptoms?
We're adding time to this story.
34.
Okay. You know, there was a scientific study that showed that like when someone likes something you do on social media, it pings that pleasure center in your brain. And so people actually get physically addicted to social media, to getting likes, to getting retweeted. Because every time that happens and you see it, it just pings. It's like a rat getting a pellet.
Yeah. No, I believe it. Because I found myself, A, just like constantly trying to go to Facebook and then feeling like I couldn't do it. Or people would be like, here's my Facebook event invitation. And I was like, I can't see it. And every time I wanted to say something funny, I had to go to Twitter. And it was just not satisfying.
Yeah. You know, my grandparents used to subscribe to the Reader's Digest. And I don't know if you've read Reader's Digest, but they always had these stories, like true stories of wilderness survival,
uh-huh.
where it's like, you know, like I was in the woods and I was attacked by a bear and I lost my leg and I climbed a tree. And that is our generation's version of the wilderness survival tale is you survive 34 hours disconnected from Facebook.
So you have to handwrite that and mail it in and then wait 6 months for Reader's Digest to publish it. Then wait 2 more years and you can read it in the dentist's office.
Even better. But yeah, no, part of why I invited our guests here today is because one of the reasons why it was so difficult for me, I think, is because as someone who works from home in this horrible weather, I'm kind of a shut-in and I don't have a lot of human contact during the day.
And Facebook is your lifeline. Facebook the story just keeps like, getting sadder and sadder.
Yeah, no, I know it's sad. But I was like, I was talking to my lawyer who also works from home and she's like, it's like your water cooler. And I was like, yes.
Now, is that like you socialize with your lawyer or was that,
and
on,
is that built-
an on-the-clock conversation?
That was... Yeah. I had
that's what I want to know. Is that billable time?
Yeah.
I had a business conversation with my lawyer that also because we're friends, we just started talking about Facebook and my because this was while I was locked out of Facebook. So I'll just have to check the bill when I get.
Yeah, because when you're talking to a lawyer, no matter how good friends you are, you got to hang up the phone as soon as your problem is solved. You got to be like, we'll go to the bar.
I got one of those clocks next to my phone when I'm talking to my lawyer, like Gary Kasparov. I'm off the phone like, bam, you know, that's it. Because I'm worried, though, that your lawyer's on Facebook while you're talking to him or her, and it's like, what's that Lux Kittens? I mean, what's what? I was thinking, when I saw you were off Facebook, I was I, too, was shocked, I must say. But I thought maybe you got bounced because of something risque or somebody complained. And it's really weird. There's also the secret Facebook police. Everybody, you know, who's PC, the PC police might get their nose out of joint. Because, I mean, you've been risque. You haven't been pornographic or nothing that I've seen that's objectionable.
I keep it clean.
And you're extremely politically correct in within the bounds of your own thing. No, I've seen, you know, some people, like, you know, show up, you know, with their punk rock swastikas and they get away with that, and a lot of people with their boobies out and this, and they get shut off.
Yeah.
What's actually hilarious is I'll see people popping up on Facebook who are like, whoever the fuck is reporting my pictures to Facebook as nude, or, you know, and then they'll be like, whoever it is, just stop it and fuck off and unfriend me. And I'm like, you know, every time you post that, I'm going to your page and reporting every risque because it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, so, Liam, you're the answer to everyone's question.
It's Liam McEnany.
I like when you prefaced inviting us here, though. You're basically like, I know two losers who never leave their house. Let's get them in on Sunday.
No, but you're also dynamic, interesting, and entertaining.
Don't sugarcoat it.
They came for the pizza. They all do.
You know, I'm having a similar issue with YouTube right now, where it's like I uploaded an episode of my podcast, Tell Your Friends, which had a clip from my album on it. And YouTube immediately flagged that as third-party copyright. And they gave me a notice, and they said, well, you're not going to make any money on advertisements. And also, like, you get three things, and you're out. And then recently, I had to upload a video to YouTube for I'm doing like a half – very long story short, I'm submitting for a special. Mm-hmm. I had to put up a half-hour video, and because my material matches material from my album, it immediately dinged it with a third-party copyright notice. But luckily, I have a friend whose girlfriend works at YouTube, so she said, just email me with the YouTube links, and I'll have that taken care of right away.
So nice. What I'm getting from all this is I need to know an insider.
You really do.
To function properly on social media.
No, it's terrible, because otherwise, if you try to go through, like, the slush pile, well, it's like any slush pile, nobody's going to pay attention to you.
Yeah, I tried doing it through their system, and, like, because I was like, you know, it should be easy. Like, it's fairly obvious this is my... this is my album, this is my material, it should be all right. And, like, no, they wouldn't take it down. And now I have one more strike left.
And down the rabbit hole you go. It's kind of Brazil-esque. Scary out there.
Yeah.
So have you ever unfriended anybody, Lex?
Oh, yeah.
All the time?
Yeah. I mean, not that frequently, but, you know, sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I hate you now.
What are causes for unfriending? I'll tell you what a cause for unfriending
is. I mean, cause for unfriending for me, I mean, I try to only friend people who I, like, know and like, but sometimes... there have been people in my life who I have fallen out with, and then I don't want to see their stupid fucking cat pictures.
Well, you can block them or you can unfriend them.
Right, and I tend to unfriend them. I mean, sometimes I just block people, but it's like, if I really don't like you, I'm just going to unfriend you, because why do I want you in my life?
I unfriend people if they put up, without provocation, like random quotes from either the Beatles or Pink Floyd. That's it.
Really?
Boom, you're out. You're out.
How do you feel about people who put up quotes that are clearly misattributed?
Well, I guess that's a slippery slope. But any kind of inspirational or faux inspirational, you know, Hallmark card, whether it's from a rock song, whether it's, you know, just sort of up there, because people are desperate to post. They want to be part of the party.
I don't know if you should do that, because in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make.
You're unfriended. You've only been friends for 24 hours, and already you're out.
I unfriended people recently. I'll preface this story by saying I don't have Lux's problem. I do not care about Facebook at all.
That is such horseshit.
Wow.
Julia lives her life online.
Okay,
let me explain it, though, you dick.
Okay, the first step is admitting
that
you have a problem.
All the time.
What I do is Facebook, I don't have I don't look at it a lot because I don't read the time. I don't care about what anyone else is doing, basically.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very self-absorbed. I only care about what I'm doing online. I do not give a shit about people's food photos and baby photos. So I just don't look at it. And what I do is I only post to Instagram, and then I share everything across all the platforms. So then the only thing I have to care about is Instagram. And it looks like I'm on Facebook all the time, but really it doesn't matter at all. But there is a secret message section on Facebook, a junk pile, and if you don't look at it, people will message you through it. And I just discovered this recently, and it was full of things people I'm friends with, like before I was friends. It's like, you look like you'd give a good blowjob, and then I went through and unfriended all those people. Because I didn't even know that was a thing.
For giving you a compliment? That's harsh.
Man, you look like you give a good blowjob.
I'd have a lot more money if I did.
No, you wouldn't, but... But that's a whole other story. But no, I've
you don't know how little money I have, Lux.
I will get to that in a second. But no, I've looked through the other messages thing, and it's so confusing. Cause you're like, what is going on?
It's all spam. I just unfriended
it. It's not, though, because I get a lot.
It's not necessarily spam, but sometimes it's like people who are like, I read your article and you're very smart.
It's that.
And
I get like fan mail through it, and I didn't. Like, I don't want to be a dick.
I'm like, oh, 2 years later, thank you.
Yeah.
But no, I will. This is a slight off topic, but on the blowjob front, one of my friends, when she was very poor, was like, you know, I had always been told that, like, if you're just desperate enough, the opportunity to whore yourself out will present it. And she's like, and it hasn't. Nobody's offering me money for a blowjob.
Well, no, you have to go out and get it. I mean, Jesus, you can't just have that handed to you on a silver platter. You think those girls just are like, have someone drive up and are like, hey, man, you want to come out to the West Side Highway at 1:30 in the morning and I'll pay you $50?
I don't know. Facebook's kind of like a virtual doc. And if you want to go suck some dick, it's all there for you.
No, what is that guy doing? Okay, that guy sent me the message at like 3:30 a.m. So is he just at home being like, this is going to pan out. I'm going to send someone a message. They're in another state.
It's a numbers game. No. It's a numbers game.
Many, in life, maybe. But I don't know if on Facebook it's a numbers game.
I think it's more, I feel like it's like catcalls. Like, dudes don't necessarily think that you're actually going to sleep with them, but they sort of like having the power over you to be like,
jokes
I
on
can
him.
Say
I
this.
Went to the other message book.
Also, you just get really drunk and you forget what you're doing at 3:30. I had a friend many years ago who, like, I ran into her one night and she was like, oh, man, who's the girl that you wrote that message about on Facebook? And I was like, what girl? What are you talking about? She's like, you wrote this really beautiful thing on Facebook. And I was like, I have no idea. And I went back, and apparently at 4 in the morning in a blackout, I had written this, like, long love letter to some woman who I didn't name. And
and posted it publicly?
And posted it publicly.
Wow.
And I immediately deleted it. And that was, by the way, that was before I had a phone that could access Facebook. So I had to wait until I got home, like in the middle of the night, and check my wall and be like, oh, my God.
The horrors.
You were a man driven.
Before it was on
a man driven. What did we do before with Facebook?
MySpace.
Do you remember
and
a time?
LiveJournal.
Knit.
Remember when we were all in high school and there wasn't the internet?
Yes.
Yeah, I do because I'm old, but I keep running into all these people telling me, like, you know, when we were, you know, I was on Facebook in as a senior year or something like this, and like, I couldn't even imagine. I mean, having a cell phone in high school, having an internet in high school for any number of things, for, I mean, pure access to punk rock and blues records, which is important, let alone being able to hook up, you know, with someone on social media.
I think I would be a much more, like, I would have found the cool stuff earlier if I had had the internet. I didn't have the internet until I was in college or a cell phone. But the things I would have put on it, like all my bleeding heart poetry that, you know, I just thought was so good. I was like, I'm going to show, like, that would all been there for forever. And instead of just my notebook that I can make fun of to one person every 5 years.
Yeah, I've seen, like, my website that I made in college, and it was terrible and full of terrible poetry. And I'm glad
that
it
would
went
be
away.
On Facebook in front of all your high school peers. Like, everyone in English class would have seen your, like, 500. Like,
but they would have
rant.
Also been putting that up, too. So it kind of cancels itself out.
The good news is that there's going to be some sort of interstellar anomaly, some giant sunspot explosion that creates a giant magnetic pulse, and all of this is going to disappear. Everything we've been doing and we've been saving digitally and on hard drives is all going to be gone, but your high school journal will survive.
But the thing is, my mom teaches at a college, and she said, like, you know, it drives her nuts because it's all these kids on their laptops doing, you know, it's like typing and online the entire class. And it's like, no wonder the United States is so far behind everyone else in the world, because nobody, like, even
there's no learned shorthand anymore.
Well, not only that, but nobody has, like, the attention span to focus on, creating shit.
Although you're assuming that the rest of the world isn't similarly addicted to the internet. I don't know if that's true.
North Korea.
I'm going to say, wait until the North Koreans take over the world.
Look how good North Korea is.
Let's not use North Korea as a shiny beacon of an example of anything.
No, they're going to slide right in while the rest of us are, like, checking out to see, you know, the latest kitten video. Yeah. They're going to take over.
But you know, like what you said, they're not teaching cursive anymore. They've taken cursive off the curriculum.
Off the agenda. That's right. Yeah. No cursive. People can't write.
And they don't have them read whole books. They have them read samplers in English class. I'm friends with my English teacher from high school, and she explained to me recently when I was visiting her that they get this big packet, and it's, I mean, I think they download it now, but it's just like a couple chapters from each book,
what?
And then they never read an entire book because they can't anymore. Like, you can't ask a kid to read 300 pages of anything.
People are like flies. That's their attention span. You know, it's like a brick going through a plate glass window. Kabam! That's about as much attention as they can pay to anything. And it's true. Think about, you know, when we didn't have the internet and high school, for those of us who are old, you know, and I wanted to go find, you know, a record or read a book, I had to go to a library. I had to take a train to a city and go to a place and exchange money, paper money, the green stuff, the folding stuff, and get it. And I came home, you know, I'm like 16, and I went to New York City, and I came home that day with this thing. It was called Aretha Franklin's Greatest Hits, and it was like bringing back silk from the Orient. And my friends were like, why would you want to listen to this fat black woman? And I'm like, no, you must sit down and listen to this. And we just sat around and watched this black thing spin around, like in awe. You know, it was like something remarkable. Like, I'd gone to the moon and brought back, like, you know, space dust.
And now you'd invite people over to do that. Now you don't.
Oh, my God. I was like, once everybody realized that this was, like, a cool thing, it was like, you got to talk to Mike. He's got this thing that's called Aretha Franklin at his house, and you got to go check it out.
Hey, Julia, your parents are here.
Sitting at the awkward date table, no less. But the thing is now,
I'm not amused by that because it's just older people that you're pointing at. So it's like nothing's even weird about
them.
It's
these old white people that we can watch have their dinner.
And that thing I was saying about attention spans.
They're not Jewy looking, so they can't be my parents.
Right.
That's it was another white person in the room. Julia, like your parents.
But if I think about how much time I spend on Facebook, like I spend, you know, so much time on Facebook, and I have no real responsibilities and no influence over anything important. And you imagine, like, how much time someone at Goldman Sachs spends on Facebook and, like, okay, so no wonder – or in the Fed. And you're like, oh, so no wonder there's no oversight in the banking industry anymore. No wonder it collapsed because – everyone is on Facebook for 7 hours a day.
Because they're all cruising Tinder.
Yeah. Although, I don't know. They might work at real offices where they block Facebook.
Yeah, that was an insane thing to say.
Yeah, but they all have phones and tablets. I'm telling you, there's no oversight of that anymore.
And that's why the economy crashed, because of bankers on Facebook.
Well, I mean, do the math. Facebook launched in 2004. The economy crashed in 2008. Just putting it out.
It seems about right. Well, you know, also, I mean, Facebook, which is this incredibly, you know, infamous time suck, but all this technology that was supposed to help us is just making things more and more difficult. People don't know how to write anymore. People don't know how to compose a business letter because everything is these texts, you know, 140 characters, whatever it is. No one knows how to write long form or let alone read long form. I mean, when did too long didn't read become an acceptable excuse?
I like how that's also abbreviated.
Because the actual thing itself is TLDR.
Yeah. Right. There's a class on the lost art of letter writing. I just saw it the other day.
Ooh.
And it's basically just how to write a letter, which I don't understand why anyone would need to take a class for. But apparently, if it's the lost art.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because if you're actually trying to get work, you can't write, hey, what's up? How you doing, dog? Just want to know my resi's attached.
My sister pointed out a real weird one of, like, a thing we're losing that I hadn't thought about, which is that, so she, and I guess I, too, have a callus on one of my fingers from, like, where I used to hold a pen while writing,
mm-hmm.
and hers is, like, real intense because she would hold her pen really tight, and it, like, means her nail doesn't grow straight, and she was like, yeah, her kid, who's 6 months old now, she's like, he won't have that. Because he's never going to write by hand anywhere near as much as we did.
That's true. But I don't think that... I mean, I...
It's not a bad
thing. As a cartoonist,
thing.
I pen all the time. Do you see how deformed my middle finger is?
So you're saying he needs to be an artist.
Yeah, and then he can have weird, gross, just knobby fingers like I do.
Technology is terrible, we said on a web-based radio network.
Well, it's nice when it's there for us, you know, not when it's there out to fuck us, which seems to be the case more and more likely. So how's the internet dating thing going?
Oh, I mean, I'm in a relationship now.
You're in a relationship now, that's right. But you've been talking about it for so long, I just feel like it's been part of your, like, public persona on Facebook
for so long. I don't know. Well, it's funny because now I feel like I'm out of the loop because there's, like, Tinder and...
I don't like Tinder. I feel like Tinder is a place you go, like, when you want to meet someone who just murdered their girlfriend. Like, I don't think it's, like, a place...
So that's, like, 70% of the city, then.
I didn't realize that was not what you were looking for, Liam.
Well, at least you know he's single.
But, no, I mean, I don't know. It's just weird because I'm, like... You know, OkCupid always worked the best for me, and I was always, like, kind of into OkCupid, and whatever. It had its problems, but it was free... And it attracted, like, the right kind of nerdy type of person that I was interested in. And now there's Tinder, and it's like, because OkCupid's too hard.
Yeah, because you have to use your words.
Right. And I'm just like, I don't... know that, like, Tinder seems so unappealing to me because I'm like, oh, no, actually, the thing about Tinder is trying to be, like, the digital version of a bar pickup, and I never liked bar pickups. So it's trying to recreate an experience I already hated.
Well, the other thing to keep in mind, too, is, like, think about all the people on OkCupid who just literally just look at pictures and decide whether or not they're interested
right.
in someone.
No.
Yeah, and so Tinder cuts through the bullshit. Them.
Yeah, they're like, we all know what you're doing. Let's just get right to the point.
My award-winning essay? What?
But I, you know, I mean, granted, I would always look at the pictures first and then move on.
Here's the thing. Right. I was on Tinder recently because I was like, I should try it. And it was a very short-lived thing. And I went on it thinking that, being like, this is, I don't want to judge people by just their photos. That's a really shallow thing to do. I like to pretend that's not what I'm doing when I'm on OkCupid, that I'm better than that. And also, you can't tell them, but you do learn how to tell so much from someone just by a photo, because you'll the second you log on, it's like a dude. And the first one I saw was a guy in front of a urinal, and he's like flexing. I can immediately know in my heart of hearts
that guy
and I are like completely incompatible. Or then there's a guy, and the guys are always, like, girls are always doing cartwheels for some reason. The guy's always in front of tigers, or they're in front of landscape, like a lot of mountains, and they're making bro face with one eyebrow raised. And no, any guy who, you know, thinks of making bro face is a thing to do, we're probably not going to get along.
Actually, the weirdest thing about Tinder, I forgot about this. I had Tinder installed, but I was like, it's just going to be, like, looking for ladies. So I had, like, lady only looking for ladies, and it kept showing me dudes.
Yeah.
And I was just like, are they trying to convert the lesbians?
They're like, this is wrong. We
just need to meet the right man.
Yeah. Actually, what that means is they're on Facebook as ladies.
No, but it would say they were
a man.
I'm
so confused.
It would like, because really? That was the first time it came up, I was like, maybe this is just like a trans man who's listed as a woman on Facebook or something, but it kept happening, and it was like, you are not a trans man. Like,
actually, I will back you up on that. I had it set, I was just looking around at like, and every time I had it set to look at, that's why I know women are doing cartwheels all the time, it would, when I would log back on, it would be logged back on to men every time.
So weird. Yeah. I gotta say, like, I was on Tinder for a while, and one day I just decided to look at the dudes in the area.
Uh-huh.
And
I was
like,
okay, that happens every man's life. There's a moment.
No, I was like curious. Okay. I was like
curious. How I said it, no one questioned me, but the minute Liam did, we're like, yeah, you're sucking dick.
Yeah, that means that, yeah, I was sucking dick, and that's why I'm so rich now. I was
sucking dick at the virtual dock.
I was looking at the dudes that were available on Tinder, and I was like, oh my god, no wonder women in the city are always complaining about how terrible the available men are, because I was like, if I was a woman, I would fucking flush my phone down the toilet.
But wait, if you were looking at men, weren't you looking at gay men?
No,
he was checking out the competition. He was just trying to size, do a little opposition research.
No, I mean, it's like guys who were looking for women. I swear to God, that's all that came up.
No, it won't match you up. It'll match up with
you. I'm telling you, that's what came. Well, if it was gay men, then it's even worse. Because then there's really nothing out there.
You would expect a gay guy to have better taste than all that.
You were seeing all the bi men.
I never understood this. People, you know, would tell me. I had to go and find it, you know, see it for myself to believe it. The women would say, oh my god, all these guys with their shirts off. And like, I mean, it wouldn't even occur to me in a million years to do that. Like, how would you possibly get it, you know? And of course they're like posing in front of yachts or expensive cars, or
yeah,
I'm
gross.
Sure, you know, it's like not even their car. It's probably they just walked on the street, found an expensive car and took their shirt off. I mean, who thinks like that?
If I had a six-pack, I'd show it
then,
off.
Then again, my award-winning essay wasn't getting me very far either, so what the fuck do I know?
But the thing, you know, you immediately know, you just know that like a guy who's super into his body and into like doing, like being at the gym all the time, like that's not someone I'm going to date, because that's not like what I am interested in. So you can, you can judge them immediately and just be like, no, that's
fine. Yeah, I mean, I feel like you can definitely tell, you can tell a good amount by pictures, but I was doing that on OkCupid anyway.
I gotta say, being a guy who's in terrible shape on OkCupid doesn't exactly help either. So I guess there's like some sort of middle ground between being the six-pack guy.
Or you can be like the six-pack guy who's not just leading with that.
What happened to being
picture number three?
What happened to being funny? I'm just an old romantic. I can't help it. I don't know, you kids and your internet.
I'm just excited for Snacky Time Radio.
Snacky Tunes is the best. Hey, anybody got any horses in the race tonight at the Academy Awards? I haven't seen any of these movies. I hate award shows, and I feel like somehow I'm left out of like the zeitgeist because I just cannot stand the Oscars.
I think didn't we establish none of us had seen
the movie? Like nothing,
I've seen,
right?
Birdman. Yeah. So it's funny. Like, it's funny because on the one hand, all the movies that are nominated that I'm aware of, I'm just like, oh, it's all just like straight white men having problems. And then I'm like, but I also did like Birdman. I don't know if I think it's like best picture, but I don't know what I think should be best
but
picture.
But don't they like nominate like 20 movies now for best picture? It kind of defeats the purpose of having a best picture, doesn't it?
But right? It's like down
it's like the
to
NHL
two.
Playoffs. It's like everybody's in. Who cares?
Yeah. I think they nominated 8 this year. Like they can do up to 10, but they did 8.
And then the general consensus is down to Boyhood and Birdman.
Right.
What I think is hilarious is there's that outcry that the Lego movie wasn't nominated for Best Animated Feature. And it's like, yeah, it might have been a great movie. It's an 80-minute toy commercial. Like, you really can't pretend that you're a body that is interested in artistic merit and also be awarding toy commercials.
I mean, I don't know. Wasn't G.I. Joe an award-winning?
If they had done
yeah,
the G.I. Lego
Joe
movie
won
out of
so
Legos.
Many Oscars. You're right, Lux. I apologize. Golden Globe, Oscar. It won the Palme d'Or. That's it just right. swept every
no,
award.
No, that was Transformers 3, I believe you're thinking about.
I'm sorry, Julia. I totally slipped over you with my hilarious...
Oh, I don't know. I was saying something dumb. Like, if they had made the Lego movies out of actual Legos and it was stop motion, then they could have won an award.
Mm. And then it ended with your dad stepping on it and screaming at you for 20 minutes?
You know, it's like that play, Cats. Do you know that they're not actual cats? They're actually people in cat costumes?
Yes.
I know. Seriously. It's all one big lie. Hey, it's been the fastest half hour on the internet today. As always, Lux, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Leon, tell us where we can find you and what's happening. You got a movie. You got books. You got records. You got a tour. What's going on?
10 seconds.
Oh, and also Facebook.
I've got a movie. I've got
a Facebook profile.
I've got an album called Comedian. I've got a movie called Tell Your Friends, a concert film with Reggie Watts and Kristen Schaal. You can check all that stuff out at heyitsliam.com. Heyitsliam.com.
Right on. And where can we find you?
At juliawertz.com.
And see lots of your awesome comics. And Lux, what's going on? You got anything shaking? Any performances coming up? You going to be talking dirty in some nightclubs anytime
soon? Yeah, well, you can always find out about my comedy show at wonderfulworldofboning.com or luxalptrom.com. For any Bay Area-based listeners, I'm going to be at the New Parkway in Oakland on March 31st. And here in New York, my monthly show, Monko Sexo Trasho, is going to be at QED Astoria on March 24th.
Awesome sauce. And we can find you on Facebook.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm back.
All right. It's been the fastest half hour of the year today. For everyone, Liz in the booth and everyone at the Heritage Radio Network, it's Mike Geddes. See you next week on Arts and Seizures.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awali, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.